Is the time and place, or virtual place, set for oral argument in Rand Properties versus Filippini, case number 78319. Are council ready to proceed?
We are, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
Justice Perigary is not here today, but he will listen to the oral arguments, the recording of them, and participate. He was unable to attend and participate today, but he is not recused from this case. Counsel for the appellant may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Hopefully everyone can hear me all right. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for a rebuttal, if I may.
Very well.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Carl Olson. I am here on behalf of Appellant Ram Properties. With me as well is my co-counsel, John Marble. We are here for the second time on appeal because the district court did not properly apply the law identified in this court's earlier order of reversal and remand. The district court's error was primarily in relying on the wrong law and in reaching its decision without competent evidence, or in some cases, without any evidence. This appeal is about two categories of issues. The first, the chain of title for each party for their pre-statutory water rights and controlling Nevada precedent that requires that chain be shown by a series of conveyances. And second, Rand Properties' bona fide purchaser defense to Tamara's claim to own a water rights certificate. On that first category of issues, the chain of title, back in 2016, this court reversed and remanded with instructions to the district court to make findings on three areas of pre-statutory water rights. The first area in Rand's chain of title, the second in Filippini's chain of title, and the third, the stock water rights chain of title for all parties. As set out in the remand order, each party has to connect back to their initial appropriator to claim that water right, and there must be competent evidence to support all the connections, such as a series of deeds, and that forms the chain of title. If there is a gap in the connections, that is a break in the chain of title and the chain is terminated. Then,
Mr. Olson, I guess I have a question as to that break.
Or
on page 35 of the district court's order, it talks about, or at least the judge talks about, this is the quote out of this, what is known is that the farming and water use continued on Badger Ranch, so that Hughes Ranch was considered a valuable enough asset to be included in the roughly probate. Why isn't that, along with the expert Price's testimony, enough?
If the farming and water, I'm sorry,
right, go ahead. No, I mean, just showing that, didn't the district court consider then the, at least some evidence that it was being put to beneficial use where there wasn't a break?
Well, if there is water being used in this time, historically, it does not mean that the water was conveyed from the prior person using that land. To show that the water was being used at a certain point in time does not therefore mean that it was received by deed or by a contract or some other sort of conveyance from the prior owner. So that is not evidence of a chain of title as is required under Nevada law. And the second point as to the expert's opinion about Lander County holding that water, that's purely speculative, as conceded in the Filippini briefs, where phrases such as possibility are used to describe Lander County owning that water. And we went into that in some detail in our briefs as to why Lander County, there's no backup evidence to show Lander County owning that water, because you'd expect Lander County to hold a tax sale, for example, to the next buyer, to the next person to own that water. And there was no evidence of a tax sale. There's no evidence of back taxes being charged, things of that nature. Now, the first item in the chain of title that I'd like to address is Rand's chain of title. And all the parties in the case agree that Rand's chain is not disputed from 1901 forward to today. And there are only two points of dispute in Rand's chain. The first is in 1901, the second earlier in 1869. The district court concluded that Rand's chain had breaks in it in those 2 days, resulting in Rand having a later priority date, and those conclusions are not supported by competent evidence. That first erroneous break is perhaps the most important for Rand, and that is in 1901, Rand's predecessor, named Dobbs, purchased a ranch from Hoffman. And the undisputed deed for that sale explicitly stated that water rights were included. Therefore, water rights that Hoffman owned were sold to Dobbs as part of that transaction, and the chain of title was intact. Now, contrary to the plain language of the deed for the sale, the district court found that Hoffman sold Dobbs a ranch without any water on it. In other words, that there were no water rights included in that sale. The district court based this on a conclusion.
Counsel?
Sorry?
Sorry, this is Justice Kadish in Carson City, just so you can focus on the right part of the screen.
Yes, thank you.
So it's my understanding that the 1901 deed, rather than specifically referring to water rights or a specific water certificate or anything like that, instead references enough water to irrigate the land within the fences. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is what the deed says.
And your position is that language, which is very different than the language just a year before from the deed into Hoffman, still carried forward the water rights that had preexisted.
That is correct. And the reason for that, there are several reasons for that, Your Honor. One, there is no requirement that the Hoffman to Dobbs deed mirror the language of the prior deed. There's absolutely nothing in Nevada law requiring that.
Right.
Second, the language says enough water to irrigate within these fences. And as we outlined in the briefs, that is a bigger area than what Hoffman received earlier. Hoffman received different water rights and wanted to convey a larger amount. Third, the water is conveyed unless it is expressly reserved. And the district court here found, erroneously, that water was reserved by Hoffman. There is no indication of a reservation in that deed. Therefore, without the express reservation, water was conveyed.
How much was within the fences at that time, does the evidence show?
We have it in our briefs, but I do not have it at my fingertips. I apologize.
Okay. And then what about the Dobbs parties moved the location of the ranch, it's my understanding, from where that had been between those fences. Does that affect what rights were given?
Dobbs did not relocate the land from within those fences. We know this because of the historical maps done by the GLO survey at the time,
right.
That the fences were in place at the time of the deed. Even if Dobbs had relocated it, it wouldn't change anything because in this pre-statutory time, the water user was free to relocate wherever he saw fit, wherever he could put it to beneficial use.
Mr. Olson, if I could, this is Justice Hardesty.
Yes.
I wanted to ask a question that focuses or follows up on Justice Kadish's question. At the time of the Hoffman deed, isn't it the case that Hoffman owned a vested water right to 16 acres and the ability to perfect water rights to an additional 144 acres?
Hoffman had the 16 acres, which I think you're referring to as the Pankey water right.
Yeah.
But Hoffman also held what Blossom had before him. And before Blossom, Macbeth had some 300 odd acres. So there was quite a bit of water that Hoffman had at that time.
I guess the concern I have is in addressing the enough waters language in the deed, how do we parse out what portion of Hoffman's water rights, the 16 acres or the perfected water rights to an additional 144 acres? Is my understanding that you argue that enough water should include all of it because enough would be interpreted to mean the right of Dobbs to secure enough water. So whatever water Hoffman had, you could go access that. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure if I follow the question exactly, but if I may, I Hoffman deeded to Dobbs enough water to irrigate the land that, that Hoffman was selling to Dobbs within those fence, the fenced area.
Yeah.
So how much was that?
We think it was 16 acres plus, I think it's approximately 40 acres. So we have, I believe we addressed it in the briefs, and again, I apologize, I do not have the number at hand.
And Mr. Olson, this is Justice Silver. How do you respond then to the respondent's argument? Why would he give all of the water rights away without keeping some for himself? That makes no sense.
Your Honor, we respond to that in that the argument that's presented by the respondents is that Hoffman would never sell the water rights because that would injure himself, and no one would ever injure himself. But to that point, Dobbs paid consideration for the ranch and the water rights. So the injury theory simply doesn't hold because people transact goods, items, property of value all the time in exchange for money.
I guess the question I'm trying to ask you, Mr. Olson, this is Hardesty again, is there are, I suppose, varying ways in which you can approach the enough waters language. But the question is, how do you quantify that? That seems to me to be a fairly important aspect of this. Both arguments seem to make some sense to me, that Hoffman wouldn't send it all, but he would commit himself to providing enough. I mean, that's my reaction to this record. So once you say that, if you make the assumption that that's how it should be viewed, how do you quantify the water that is in your client's chain of title?
In evidence we had at trial, the expert for RAND, former state engineer, mm-hmm. describing the amount that was measured or measurable within the map, within the survey done by the government land office. And so it's approximately 52 acres, if my memory serves. But as to Hoffman reserving.
But I'm trying to understand, does that include the 16 or is 16 on top of it?
It includes the 16.
Because didn't Dobbs... wasn't that like later filings after he got the property? He then like filed like a new application for water rights for the 52 and a half acres?
No, I don't follow the question. I don't believe that that's accurate. The respondents had advanced an argument that Hoffman was selling to Dobbs permission to appropriate water.
Right.
But as we outlined in the briefs, he had no right to hold permission over Dobbs' head, that there was no such structure in place at that time.
But
there's no state engineer.
Didn't Dobbs later file some kind of forms to get permission to use water to irrigate the Trout Creek Ranch property?
No, Your Honor, that's not accurate.
Okay.
You're into your rebuttal time.
Well, I want to hold my rebuttal time, so with that, thank you.
Mm-hmm. May it please the court. This is Laura Schroeder. I have with me my co-counsel, Teresa Uhr, as well as the Filippini family who is sitting here with me in the conference room in our Reno office. Thank you for giving us this time to discuss important issues of water law in Nevada. I would like to start out with the standard of review. There is a discrepancy between the parties as to what is the standard of review here. We believe it is substantial evidence for issues 1 through 3 and issue 5. The Stockwater issue is a combination of both substantial evidence as well as a conclusion of law, which would be de novo. So it's very important as we start with the standard of review that the court recognize that standard of review in its earlier decision. The first issue on appeal is the Hoffman to Dobbs conveyance, and this court asked for review of that issue because the district court said, made the wrong decision about changing a place of use prior to entrance of the statutory water law, and in doing so came to the wrong conclusion as to the proper RAND priority date. So on remand, the district court reconsidered and looked at RAND's 1901 irrigation priority date, and based upon three specific decisions of fact or conclusions, it decided that the 1901 priority date was appropriate. One, that RAND's irrigation priority date couldn't be 1869 because Ross chain of title that began in 1869 does not connect to connect Pankey or any other successor in interest. And so the best that RAND could do would be to claim 1872 under Pankey, but cannot do that for the second reason. That is because Blossom acquired the Pankey's 1872 possessory interest, including his water use, and moved it. They moved it to the Badger Meadows by 1898. So that by that time, there was no water rights appurtenant to Pankey's Trout Creek Ranch. So this idea of a reservation is really irrelevant to the whole issue because there was no water rights attached because they'd already been moved down below to Badger. The third reason is Hoffman obtained that possessory interest from Blossom, and when Hoffman conveyed Pankey's Trout Creek Ranch interest to Dobbs in 1901, there was no water to convey, no water rights, at least, to convey to the property. The deed to Dobbs just said there was access to enough water from Trout Creek. The deed did not convey water rights that did not exist on that ranch because there were none. So, based upon the chain of title where water rights have been moved prior to Dobbs purchasing a possessory interest in Pankey's old property, the irrigation right for the Trout Creek Ranch is 1901.
Ms. Schroeder,
in the second,
Ms. Schroeder, this yes. is Justice Hardesty. In arriving at your argument, it seems as though you're applying a concept that was rejected by this court on remand, that the movement of the water by Blossom to some other location did not eliminate the water rights themselves. What say you with respect to that point?
Yes, the court said that there is a possibility to move water rights, but you cannot expand the water rights. So, in other words, you can move them as long as you stop using them in one place and start using them in another. But you cannot expand them by irrigating them in both places. And so the court's idea of was correct, I think. The district court was wrong in saying that you couldn't move water rights. This court rejected that idea.
Well, so, but the problem is that your argument with respect to what Blossom did in moving the water rights terminates Pankey's water rights altogether. I mean, you're saying that they acquired Pankey's water rights, so they moved them, and in doing so, they terminated any water rights associated with Pankey's property. Isn't that your argument? Yeah. So you can't expand them, that a concept with which you agree, but you can eliminate them, a concept I don't understand.
I don't understand it either because my idea, my thought process
isn't that
here.
Isn't that essential to your chain of title argument here?
Yes.
So how do you get
Pankey's water rights were moved when he purchased them and moved down to Badger. So he moved them down to Badger and used them there. They were taken off the Pankey Trout Creek Ranch. So they were moved, taken off one, same priority date, and moved down and used at Badger Meadows.
So, Ms. Schroeder, at that time, Blossom had come to own both the Pankey property, which was the Trout Creek Ranch, and the Macbeth property, which was Badger Ranch by that time. And so you're saying he moved the rights that had been used on Trout Creek to irrigate there, was instead moving that over to irrigate in the Badger Meadows area or the Badger Ranch area?
Correct.
And so that... So your argument is that would continue then with the rights that originally were started by Penke and would have that date of 1872?
Correct. Correct. You understand what I'm trying to convey. That's exactly right. That we're trying to, he's consolidating as he moves through history. The ranch is consolidated down to Badger Meadows. And those water rights are moved down. So when Blossom then obtains all of these rights down on Badger Meadows and then says to Dobbs, I'll sell you some property. Also, I'll sell you the Panky Ranch. The problem here, I think we had it at trial as well, is that Trout Creek Ranch that is owned by Rands and Trout Creek Ranch by Panky get confused. But when Dobbs purchases and when the sale goes to Dobbs from Blossom, there's enough water transferred. But at that point, Blossom is using all the water in Trout Creek. And he's saying, yeah, you can have water. I'm not going to take all the water in Trout Creek. You establish some water rights up there, whatever you need to irrigate in those fences. And our expert testified as to what that was. It was 52 acres. So I think 52.7 or so. So there was that evidence. Also in the patent for the Dobbs Trout Creek Ranch, there was also a quantification of those acres. So I want to also look at the I think we should talk a little bit. I think the record is pretty clear about issue number three, which is the Hughes to Filippini change chain. The district court went on remand, developed 9 pages of findings as to that chain of title, as well as developed a nice chart. And I think that that is pretty clear. If the court has any questions on that, I'll be happy to answer them. As to the Roth and Macbeth connection to Rand, I want to spend a little bit of time on that. As related to Roth, Rand failed to prove a continuous chain of title beginning with Roth. Instead, the evidence at trial proved that Roth either passed away or disappeared from the area just before Panky made his entry in 1872. Panky later made a reference to this deed that Mr. Olson talked about, from Roth to support a mortgage. But that mortgage was found by the court to be false or not substantiated by other evidence. And I think the telling thing for me in this chain of title is that Panky sold his property interest to Blossom. And when he did in 1883, Ross property and water rights were not included. Only the ditch and the water rights that Panky developed from 1872. So Panky wasn't trying to sell any Roth water rights. He only was selling what he developed on that ranch, and that was passed down. So also I'd like to talk a little bit about the stock water issue. And the stock water priority issue, I want to emphasize the Steptoe decision and the fact that the Steptoe decision does not talk about chain of title, but talks about predecessors and interests. And so when you're talking about public lands, of course, the ownership of the public lands is today and was at this time, at this historical time, all within the United States. So there is no chain of title here except as to predecessors and interests. So when we did the predecessors and interests development, the district court looked at credible evidence that was offered at trial going back to the Bradley outfit. And the Bradley outfit then, of course, developed the stock water in the Badger Meadows and throughout time, and all of the parties in this case then obtain the same priority date based upon that Bradley date. I'd like to now turn over my time to Mr. Gerber, who's going to talk about the bona fide purchaser.
Thank you. If it may please the court, I'm Travis Gerber with Gerber Law Offices, and here with my co-counsel, Zachary Gerber, on behalf of respondent Julia Tamara Ranches. And just briefly, in the interest of time, to summarize, there is a pipeline that crosses the Rand property from its point of diversion onto the Argento allotment. This pipeline and the troughs that it serves are very essential to the maintenance of the Tamara cattle that are have grazing preferences on that allotment. That pipeline was cut by Rand, which sparked this lawsuit. The district court originally found that that Tamara owned and purchased certificate 12160 from Horn in 1989 and continuously maintained that pipeline of troughs purchase. On appeal, the Supreme Court, however, remanded the issue of whether Rand had notice of the conveyance to Tamara. This was an argument that Rand raised in its 2014 appeal. On remand, the district court held additional trial in January of 2019 and found that the pipeline was a, quote, obvious situation. The district court concluded that there was no issue that Rand was, in fact, on notice and was not bona fide purchasers as it claimed on appeal. To summarize the evidence, the court found both physical and documentary evidence that Rand had notice of. The district court found that Tamara was in actual use of the pipeline, and the pipeline was, quote, visible and in operation, servicing the Argenta grazing preferences for over two decades, and specifically in existence when Rand purchased the Trout Creek Ranch. And Rand's ranch manager was aware of this use when he shut off the water to the pipeline and denied Tamara's cattle access to the water. Rand concedes that if Tamara is found to be the owner of certificate 12160, that the easement for the pipeline must also exist. And clearly that is a fact, that in order to convey the water from its point of diversion to its place of use on the Argenta allotment, the district court correctly found that Tamara has an easement for that pipeline and to maintain the pipeline. Further evidence is that Rand and its attorney knew that certificate 12160 was, quote, developed for the 600 head cattle firm that was documented with the BLM as being owned by Tamara. Therefore, there was documentary evidence that put Rand on notice. And Rand was in possession of facts that would lead a reasonable person in its position to make an investigation. Again, the district court found that this was a, quote, obvious situation. The standard on appeal is that as long as the findings are not clearly erroneous and are supported by substantial evidence, they should be upheld by this court. And we submit that they are not clearly erroneous, and they are supported by multiple substantial findings by the district court. And in conclusion, I also concur with Ms. Schroeder's arguments on behalf of Filippini with regard to the priority on the possession and interest doctrine adopted by this court in Steptoe, that the Bradley outfit established Tamara's grazing and stock water permit on the allotment for 1862. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Your Honors, jumping around a bit, Ms. Schroeder, I believe my microphone's on. Ms. Schroeder talked about Blossom moving the Pankey water rights to the Badger Meadows area. We have to keep in mind that at this point in time, the holder of the water right was free to use it anywhere they wanted, and they could move it anywhere they wanted. So Blossom could move that, the use of that Panky water to Badger Meadows, and then move it up the stream later and sell it to Hoffman, as he did in that deed. There's the theory, the idea that, Ms. Schroeder had advanced of Blossom was using all the water on Trout Creek is not supported by the evidence. The district court didn't recognize here that the waters of Trout Creek were not entirely appropriated, so there was no one owner that had to give permission to other users to go and get more water or anything of that nature. And Ms. Schroeder also referred to the Filipini expert talking of at trial, testifying at trial about the amount of water being used by Blossom. But you should also note that the same expert had testified at one point in the trial that the Hoffman to Dobbs deed included water because there'd be no other reason why you'd buy that ranch if it didn't include the water. He recanted that testimony later after a break, but he did say that. The earlier appropriation by Roth and the mortgage that Rand discusses in the briefs between Panky and McWilliams as lender, that is the only evidence supporting the conveyance between Roth and Panky. And being the only evidence and being detailed enough, it is the only substantial evidence in the record. But we're looking again here at a lot of historical deeds for all of the evidence in this case. So it really is a de novo matter for the court to review because interpretation of the deeds is simply a matter of law. We're not weighing the evidence. There's no live testimony, for example. As to the, quickly on the Stockwater chain of title, as on all chains of title in this case, Nevada law has long held that there must be a chain of title. There must be a connection. There must be some sort of interest going forward. There simply isn't anything connecting anyone here to Bradley in 1862. With that, thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. I want to thank all counsel for their excellent briefs and oral arguments. This matter will stand submitted and will be in recess until